When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Visions of Love podcast. On today's episode, we conclude our interview with Dave Andrus, pastor to the blind with Lutheran Braille Workers. Dave continues to talk about the barriers that people encounter when meeting and working with people who are blind or disabled, and about how we can work to combat those barriers. Please enjoy our podcast, and thank you so much for listening. God bless you. I've made it, when it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. We have a few songs to play for you. And here's my husband, Timothy, to introduce the first one.
Hi, the first one is a Stevie Wonder song that you'll recognize, but it's very special to us for different reasons. So we want to sing this to Jesus.
And Jesus wants to play this song for each of us, too, because he loves all of us.
You are the sunshine of my life.
Thank you.
Next is a very famous song popularized by Amy Grant, and it is called Thy Word.
To contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you.
And now for part two of our interview with Dave Andrus.
I know a lot of times people use conference calls like we do. Do you do anything like that?
Well, because of COVID, we've gone to Zoom. Cecilia would come, she lives in St. Louis, and she would come to my house, my study, which I'm sitting in right now. We'd record here, but with COVID, she was concerned that with transportation, and things that, you know, she didn't want to get exposed to it. So we are working with Zoom.
Uh-huh.
It's a computer-based program that we call in and then record to. And it gives us some technical difficulties occasionally, but it's a blessing of God to be able to record. And then once it is recorded, we do it in MP3, and then we put it up at the website, but then we also send out a notice to listeners that all they have to do is click on that link, and it takes them right to the website to listen.
Did you grow up in a Christian home?
I did. Mm-hmm. Lifelong Christian. But I got to say, Jim, that what formed me.
Sure.
When I lost my sight, I said to Mom, is God punishing me? I was playing with my car. I had to be out of school for a week because I lost my sight, and we weren't sure where we were going to go next. And I was playing with the car, and I just stopped, and I walked up. Mom said, is God punishing me? And she said, no. No, no, no. God punished Jesus on the cross. That's where our sin and punishment went. I don't know why you're blind, but I know that God loves you, and I guess we'll just have to figure this out together. And that's what she did. She came alongside and worked with me, and that's something I've always tried to share with people then, too. Punishment for our sins and problems, that's on the cross. That's with Jesus. And
right.
For now, if we have a disability, for a different reason, and there are many people who would be willing to walk alongside to help in the struggles, and the laughter and joy, and let's walk the journey together.
Well, can you tell us about some of the success stories that you've seen?
You got to be more specific on that question, because my life is scattered with so many blessings of how God has worked through and with blindness to reach people, both now and in the past. Are you thinking with the podcast? Are you thinking outreach centers? Are you thinking general life?
I'm thinking basically, I'm interested in all of it, but what I was basically thinking about was the people in the outreach centers that you said maybe had a hard time getting used to this and adjusting, and I was just wondering if you could tell us some stories about that.
Sure. Darla comes to mind. This was at the outreach center here in St. Louis. Somebody from the outreach center heard about her. She was 45 years old, riding a motorcycle with her new husband, and the back tire blew out. They were both thrown, even though wearing helmets. She woke up blind. The concussion broke the optic nerve, basically. The optic nerve, and she ended up blind and still is today. Someone from the outreach center said, "We care. What do you like to do?" Sat in their kitchen. "Well, I used to cook." "Well, let's go over to your stove. Let's see how you do it." "And why can't cook?" "Well, I'm blind. Why can't you cook?" "I cook." And showed her how to use the stove and tricks and tips of how a person who's blind can do that, such as when you salt something, whether it's food on your plate or food in the fry pan, you shake it over your back of your hand and fingers, and then you open up your fingers and let the salt fall through. That way, you know you're not getting too much or too little. And from that, she went, "Wow, you mean God's not angry at me?" "No. You mean you guys care enough to do all this?" "Yes. And we do it because God cares." That changed her life almost overnight.
Wow.
When she realized people cared enough to care, then your God must care too.
Wow. That's great. What happened as far as Lutheran Blind Missions? Could you expand a little bit on that? Tell us, you know, what that was like, maybe what your day was like?
Well, once the outreach center started, I was on the road pretty much every weekend of the year. One year I counted 40 weekends I was gone, so it's not quite every weekend, but most. So I traveled by plane, by bus, by train, however I needed to get somewhere. I spoke at a congregation. Because I was a parish pastor for years, I was comfortable in Lutheran churches, and it gave the pastor a weekend off. And so I'd come and speak about blind mission, and then I'd say, "Well, you got blind people in the area?" "No." And then I would start to do a little research and find them and talk to them. And from that conversation, then, many times was able to connect that blind person with that church to start an outreach center. That's how many of them started.
Wow.
And
that's
then
great.
Once that started, then came, I had to train them, both the sighted volunteers, to do the going out, getting people, picking them up for the meals, bringing them back, so that they become comfortable and relaxed at leading a person. But then also training the person who's blind a bit more about God. And so we did a training school. It's called the Christian Blind Institute. And so helped them understand how they could lead a devotion, how they could talk about Jesus, and help a person know that Jesus is their Savior, as well as then help them learn how to read a Bible by listening to it.
Right. One thing I was wondering is, could you tell us about some of the different obstacles that you've had overcome when you did these different ministries and how you've overcome them?
The biggest obstacle is always people.
That's true.
Being one extreme or the other. That you're incapable, and so they have to care for you as though you are a person with no ability. Or they go to the other extreme and see you as Superman and put you high on a pedestal, and they do that so they don't have to interact as a person with you. Either extreme is not healthy. And so the first thing was to help them realize, I'm just a person, and once they can get over the surprise of what a blind person can cook, what a blind person can change a diaper. And then they start talking and they realize, I'm just like any other person. And then those attitudinal barriers would drop. That takes time and the patience to talk with people. So that's barrier number one. Barrier number two is usually the resources, material. We did a lot with Braille at Lutheran Blind Mission, and so that was very helpful, especially in the trainings. But sometimes people don't read Braille. Actually, we learned that 80% of people who are blind don't read Braille.
Wow.
And so we had to develop training material on audio via the computer and computer files. And that's kind of what led me into the next ministry then with the podcast.
Uh-huh.
And then the third barrier was always transportation. That's why the outreach centers were helpful. Basically, people are people are people. And Christians want to help, but they don't always know how to help. And so
right.
when I come in and say, you know, let's do an outreach center, well, what does that mean? Well, how do I do it? And I basically have a meeting with the sighted volunteers and say, okay, here's what you do. And I just literally take somebody and say, okay, I'm going to take your arm and walk them around the room and say, tell you hit it. And then talk them through how you lead a person. And this would take about an hour or two prior to an outreach center opening, just to help them understand how they can be that bridge so that if they break down the barrier for blind people of transportation, they were that link to help them get to the outreach center. A lot of these drivers became super close friends with the people they were picking up and are still friends with them today.
Wow.
So it started out as a service. Now they're friends.
I think you've used the two key words, bridge and link. I faced all of those obstacles in the hospital. And one key thing I found out was I really was able to break down a lot of walls with the humor. And I'd like you to respond to that.
Humor is wonderful. Whether it's yourself or the situation. Because people are tense and they're nervous. What do I do? What do I say? And all
right.
I have to do too much or too little. And if they start to laugh, it breaks that disruption of that nervousness. And they realize you're just a human being laughing with them. Yes, humor is one of the gifts of God. Absolutely.
I had one thing happen one time in the hospital that I think you'll enjoy. I was going around with my team, and there's a person who was a floater, and they didn't know who I was. Most of them knew me. But I bumped one of the computer scans on wheels, and I just bumped it lightly with my cane, and the person about had a heart attack. She goes, oh, are you okay? Are you okay? And I go, yeah, you know, I think this is where Walt Disney got the idea of bumper cars from.
And
she started laughing, and we were able to talk.
Yeah.
And the other thing in a church that I just wanted to share that was that this person was acting all condescending and nervous. And he goes, oh, I forgot your name. I'm not good with names. And I go, that's okay. I'm not good with faces either. And he started laughing. We had a great conversation.
Yeah.
So
that is great.
I just appreciate your sense of humor, and I wanted to ask you what you thought the role of humor was. It really builds a bridge between two people, doesn't it?
I do help out at a parish, just a large parish with lots of people, a few disabled people, but not many. It's just an average congregation. And most of my work is with hospital and shut-ins. And one of the things I regularly say to people is they're stressing out. You got a joke book? Start reading some jokes. And literally, my wife went and bought a joke book, and I handed him and said, you read this to your husband, two jokes a day. And Kathy laughed, you're kidding. I said, no, do it. And a week later, she said, that was the best medicine ever. So we could sit and laugh and laugh and laugh. It is wonderful.
A merry heart does good like a medicine.
It does.
That's great. What would you say to maybe blind people who are nervous about going out or, you know, apprehensive? Maybe they have just lost their sight or something like that. What would you say would be the first step that they could take?
It's a hard step, but the first step is to be confident within yourself. Even if you're afraid, don't show it. Don't let it sink to your fence here. Hey, I told you to get back in that corner. You stay back there and don't come out of that corner. So sometimes we use a Bible verse that talks about taking every thought captive. It's in 2 Corinthians.
Right, right.
And so that fear, instead of coming out and gobbling you up, you tell that fear monster, I'm putting a corral around you, and you cannot come out today until I get back home. And if you see that green fear monster popping back out, you say, hey, I told you to get back in there. And you lock it, the corral gate again. And then you, I am fine. I am a person. I am a human being. I'm not less of a human being. No, I can't see, but a lot of people can't. Some can't read. Some can't walk. Some people are very heavyweight, and they're very concerned about that. Some are thin as a rail, and they're scared about that. Some people I know are fearful of crowds. We all have a disability. We're all in the same boat. Don't let that disability overwhelm you.
One thing that I've always found that helps in my life, and I wanted to see what you had to say, was if I am nervous about something, I try and say, you know, with God, all things are possible, or I can do things through Christ, or a big one for me is, if God is for me, who can be against me?
When you're working with Christians, that's really good. That is really good. Sometimes you're working with non-Christians, especially if you're getting your hair cut or going grocery shopping.
Sure.
And then I think there the humor is the better way to go, and, well, I'm learning, and thank you for your patience. And that's one thing I do also is I try to be gracious, and I try not, even if I'm angry at somebody, not to express it, to say, you know, I don't think you're quite getting it, but I'm so grateful you're here to help me. Can we try once more time? Because if you get angry at a person, it doesn't do anything except for get them angry at you.
Do you think sometimes maybe as blind people or anybody like that, when somebody's trying to help, we push people way too much with anger instead of trying to understand?
Yes. Oh, yes. It happens all the time. All the time. And I, unfortunately, still do that, even though I try not to. That green monster pops out of the corner, you know?
Yeah, well, we all do that. Well, Dave, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure getting to know you a little bit more. I just wanted to ask you, lastly, what do you think is the most vital thing to developing relations between people who can see and people who can't?
Oh, this might sound odd, but a kind, gentle spirit.
A kind, yeah, yeah.
Kind and gentle spirit. Both that we have it, because if we don't have it, they won't have it. If we do have it, they're more than likely to have it back towards us. So that means we need to be kind and gentle with people. And that's why I talked about the green monster and keeping that monster of fear. And then there's the ugly red monster, that's the anger, keeping them behind the corral. And always have a smile. You're mentioning humor is a wonderful thing. I do that so often, I don't even think about that anymore, but I do it a lot. And it is important. And the more you can come across as relaxed and kind and gentle, then people will be kind and gentle with you.
Well, we just wanted to say thanks again to Dave and just tell everybody again that regardless of what obstacles you're facing, like I said, if God is for you, who can be against you? If you need prayer, don't hesitate to give us a call. God bless everybody that's out there. Have a good day, and we really appreciate your time, Dave. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Our final song for you today is a famous hymn called Trust and Obey. We hope that you've enjoyed our show today. Thank you.
You've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.